Welcome to WICE's Community Connection. Community Connection is a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidian, a hyperlocal news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. Community Connection brings to you diverse perspectives and viewpoints from community leaders across West Michigan. I'm your host, Allison Donahue. On our show today is Dana Romero-Vogue, the Development Coordinator for Donor Communications at the YWCA here in Grand Rapids. Thank you so much, Dana, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I know that each YWCA around the country, around the world, has different approaches to meeting their mission. They offer different services. Can you tell us a little bit about the YWCA here in Grand Rapids?
Yeah, so just to expand on that, so there are many YWCAs throughout the country, and there is even a global initiative, and the base mission has always been eliminating racism and empowering women and girls. And like you said, every YWCA has a different focus, and a lot of that time that's based on the issues that are in the community. So our YWCA focuses on serving individuals who have experienced intimate partner abuse or sexual assault, sexual abuse. And that also means that we serve everybody. So there's that common misconception that because of the whole empowering women and girls, and a lot of people think it's Young Women's Christian Association, but it's not. It's just YWCA. But they think that we only serve women, and that's not true. We serve everybody and anybody who is experiencing either intimate partner abuse and or sexual assault, sexual abuse. And we have a lot of different types of services. So one of the things that I think a lot of people probably know about in the community is we do have a emergency safety shelter for those who are fleeing intimate partner abuse, but we also have our other services. So that is a separate building, but our main campus, we have our advocacy resource services department, which is still fairly new. When we did our renovations, that completed in the 2015-2016 time, we opened up this advocacy center, and the idea was to be able to have a place for people to come and talk to advocates. If they're in immediate crisis, they do walk in, they can do some safety planning, they can just talk to an advocate. We also do have a legal advocate. So the legal advocate isn't a lawyer. However, so she can't give like legal advice, but what she can do is help people navigate the complicated legal system. She can help people file PPOs, and she has a really high success rate, which is super cool. Help with divorce paperwork, child custody stuff, all of that. She's very knowledgeable. People can make appointments too. If they don't have time to do a walk-in and they need to plan ahead of time, they can always make an appointment with an advocate. And what's really nice about that is a lot of the times, especially during the mental health crisis, we've had a lot of people call and they're seeking counseling services, but they may not be able to afford it, or there's just nothing available. To get down to it, a lot of the times it's just because they want to talk to someone. They don't necessarily need that clinical approach. So the advocates are perfect because not only are they there for that listening ear and it's non-judgmental, but they also don't have to pay a dime. It's all grant funded. So that's our advocacy department. We also have our nurse examiner program. So that is there. We do forensic exams for those who have experienced sexual assault. Also do exams for those who have experienced an assault from their partner. So we do imaging. We have very high-tech equipment for that. We collect, the rape kits. And actually, we were the first freestanding nurse examiner program in Michigan. And we have actually helped and trained other places in Michigan to create their own. It's really amazing the roots that we have in that program.
Very powerful program.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, absolutely.
I'm hoping that people out there who might need these resources are understanding just exactly what the YWCA has to offer.
Yep. And one of the things that people don't know is that they might not get an exam because they think that they have to report. And that's not necessarily the case. When somebody gets an exam, they have 5 days or 120 hours from their assault to get a forensic exam done. But we keep those kits for 18 months. So anytime during that, they can decide whether or not they want to report, and that evidence will still be secure. After 18 months, then, it's destroyed because of it's just a mandate, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's still a year and a half that someone has to decide whether or not they want to report. And we never force anybody to report. They get to decide the process of the exam. Even if they say, yeah, I'm ready to go, they get to a part of the exam where they don't feel comfortable, all they have to do is say stop. And that's the most important thing, is that we are giving the patients the control, the survivors the control. They get to make every choice for themselves, which is something that they didn't have in that moment when they were assaulted.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really important for victims of abuse or domestic violence to be able to have that autonomy still and be able to have a little bit of control over a situation that might feel powerless.
Absolutely. And we make it that it's a calming and safe and comforting environment. And during those exams, they have an advocate present with them. And on top of that, these nurses are specially trained. You have to be, they're called SANE nurses, which is sexual assault nurse examiner. So you have to go through specific training and shadowing to be able to complete these exams in the way that are accurate, but also sensitive to the survivor's needs. There are more services. So we also have a housing program. It's called Project HEAL. And they offer transitional housing for those who have experienced intimate partner abuse. And it's case managed. So really what it is to help people kind of get back up on their feet. Because if they're coming from an abusive household, it's hard to really know how to get back to that norm. So this is a way for them to kind of slowly gain control of their lives. And by the time that they leave the program, the goal is for have them to be have that complete sense of autonomy. And then we also have a program called Safe Connections, which is a safe parenting time. So we have parenting monitors. And this is a lot of the reason that people come to us is because of abusive relationships where they have to, they only have a few parenting hours. Mm-hmm. So we create a safe space, and we also do safe exchanges through that program. And then our counseling program, we also have counseling. So
before we turned on the mics here, you did mention how intersectionality really is a key part of the work that the YWCA does. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that really works with all of these services that you just mentioned?
We understand that violence is rooted in racism and sexism. And that is how the mission of eliminating racism and empowering women and girls really intersects with the work that we do. But it's not just that. It's also the intent with our services is to make survivors feel safe and supported and heard with the sensitivity to experiences of all. So anyone that's part of the LGBTQ community, definitely the BIPOC community, we are constantly looking at different areas and what we need to do to meet the needs of everybody, not just one gender, one sex, everybody.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing all of the resources that you have and all the really powerful, I know I've said that word already, but the powerful work that you do here in this community and supporting, like you said, everyone, but especially those women and children who might not be in safe situations. I think that's really important. But upcoming is an event where folks can support the YWCA.
So on June 15th, we are having the, like you said, the 40th annual Women Lawyers versus Judges charity softball game. Definitely a mouthful, but it's really special. This year, we are back at the LMCU ballpark. And the fun thing about that is that with admission to the softball game, people get to enjoy the softball game. Then they get to enjoy the Whitecaps game. And that night there will also be fireworks and the human cannonball, which I'm not sure what that will entail, but I'm sure it will be fun.
And this is the 40th annual.
The 40th annual game, because it started in 1983. So this is the people that put this on is the Women Lawyers Association of Michigan, the Western region. Basically what's happening is that like lawyers and judges were seeing a lot of violence like in the courtroom, like seeing clients come in that have experienced domestic violence and sexual violence. And they wanted to do more to help. So that's in 1983, they did that first game to raise funds to support the work of the YWCA. So now it happens every year. And since then, they have helped raise like $500,000. So what's so exciting is that it's the 40th annual. It's a big year. Mm-hmm. And again, back at the ballpark. Like, this is going to be a great event for families. It's pretty cheap for general admission. Like, adult tickets are $20. And remember, that gets you everything that I listed. And kids from 3 to 12 is only $10.
The funds are going to support the YWCA, but also you get a Whitecaps game right after.
Yep.
Which, I mean, there's no better bang for your buck.
Exactly. I mean, if you're ready, like, go to Whitecaps games during the season, why not go to this to be able to support the YWCA and see a friendly and fierce competition? Like, if you want to see something fun, you've got to see women lawyers playing softball against the judges. And there are some really amazing women that are part of this group, amazing lawyers and amazing judges, and they just really love playing the game, and they love, like, supporting the YWCA. It's going to be really fun.
I want to make sure that we say the date again.
Sure. It's June 15th, and the event starts at 4 p.m. And then goes through to the end of the Whitecaps game. Yeah.
And if people wanted to buy tickets, where would you point them?
So we are on our tickets. You can purchase them through Eventbrite. So if you just go to eventbrite.com and search YWCA West Central Michigan, that should populate the event. And then you can just purchase the tickets through that.
And you said it's about $20 tickets and then $10 for younger children?
For the kiddos, yep.
Awesome. But if folks aren't available, I know June gets a little busy, but they still want to support the work that you're doing. Where would you point them to help out with either volunteer work if possible or donations?
Yeah, so there are multiple ways that you can help, like you said, either donating or volunteering. So donating, the easiest would be to go online on our website, which is ywcawcmi.org, or you can just search it in Google, YWCA West Central Michigan. So easiest would be to donate online. And also on there, you can look at our volunteer opportunities. So we have different type of volunteer opportunities. There's volunteers that help out at our shelter. There are different ways that they can help. But there's also our volunteer advocates. So I had mentioned earlier about exams, that there's always an advocate present. Well, because we offer exams 24/7, we can't just have staff be available 24/7. It's not feasible. Nonprofits succeed because of their volunteer base.
Absolutely.
So our volunteer advocates take those after-hour shifts and the weekends and the holidays, and we would not be able to do the work that we do without them. If you are somebody that wants to be their survivors and help us, like, with this very, like, important work, because we want to continue to be able to offer those 24/7 exams, please, you know, check out our website for the volunteer advocacy. We have been having, like, mini question sessions, so people can keep an eye out for that on our socials to see if there's any session to, like, join. Like, it's a Zoom session that people can ask more questions about volunteer opportunities and what, like, being an advocate specifically would entail.
Great. Yeah, sometimes you just have to talk to someone a little bit before jumping.
Absolutely. Yes, because it's a huge commitment. Just to give a little, like, personal, that's how I started with the YWCA, was that I was a volunteer advocate. And then I just was so enamored by the work that the YW does that once a position opened up to work with the agency, I jumped on it. And here I am almost 10 years later.
Well, Dana, we are just about out of time now. Is there anything that we didn't talk about yet that you want to make sure we get in the airwaves?
Yeah, I would also like to mention that we do offer support groups that are free. So we have two support groups on Mondays. One is in the afternoon, and that is for a teen support group. And then in the evening, we have a LGBTQ trauma survivor support group. Tuesday is our support group for domestic violence survivors for women 18 up. And then Wednesday is our support group for sexual assault survivors for women 18 up. And like I said, those are free. You can always give us a call if you want to ask more questions.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here and doing all the work that you do in our community.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. You've been listening to WICE's Community Connection, a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidian, a hyperlocal news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. To listen to any of the previous episodes of Community Connection, you can find us on Spotify. Make sure to follow along and hit that notification bell to make sure you don't miss any other episodes. I'm your host, Allison Donahue, and that's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week, same place, same time, on 88.1 FM, WYCE.